The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Bridgestone, Miller Lite, and North Shore University Health System. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
A thrilling, hard-fought win by your Bears last night in Santa Clara, California. Pull out a 28-20 win as that becomes the Week 2 highlight in the National Football League. And the Bears 1-1 with the rest of the NFC North getting ready already, right away, for Week 3 and a trip a week from tonight to New York to take on the Jets. Terrific comeback from 17 down. Thanks for joining the program, everybody, along with head coach Mark Trestman, Jeff Joniak here until 7:30 tonight. And coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer to look at things. Thrilling win, Mark. Impressive how it all came together, especially in that second half. What'd you think? You know, I like to start you off something broad.
It's a loaded question, Jeff. As I said after the game, you know, what our coaches and our players went through really started in the locker room after the Buffalo game, you know, handling that adversity and then moving forward. Our guys worked very hard during the week, coaches and players, put in the time, preparation, had amnesia about the week before and went ahead and got to work like you have to do in the NFL each and every week. You got to separate them 1 week at a time, and they did. They went to work. We showed signs of getting better. We talked about it. We showed the tape. There was great energy and a sense of urgency in practice, and we were able to find a way to win a game on the road in San Francisco last night. I was very excited for our players and our coaches.
Is it easier for a veteran mixed team to have amnesia versus, say, a really young team?
I think so. I mean, our veterans really kind of took control of the week and the way they handled it. There was focus. There was it was a business-like atmosphere. There was a sense of humor involved. We didn't have a bunch of uptight guys nervous and fearful of what was ahead. They saw the tape of the game against Buffalo. They saw signs that we can, you know, have the ability to become a very good team. We got a lot of work to do, and that'll start again, you know, tomorrow when we look at the game. But I thought our veteran group did a great job, and it started with Jay, and it worked through the guys that have, you know, played this game for a while and know what you got to do in this league. You got to get ready for the next game.
Matt, you mentioned sense of humor. Funniest thing you heard last week. What was it? What made you laugh?
Oh,
do you remember?
There's always Kyle Long for one.
No. Yeah. You know, we just did a feature on Kyle Long, and he said he toes the line between knowing when to work and knowing when to play.
Does.
He says he likes to keep it light.
Yeah, we got a number of guys who can put a smile on your face in our building, and that's a good thing.
One thing that turns a smile down a little bit is the news today on Charles Tillman. Now, season-ending injured reserve, a repeat of a torn tricep from a year ago in November. I know he's crushed about it. Your thoughts on that diagnosis today?
Yeah, on a personal level, I'm really disappointed for, you know, Charles and what's come about here. He was on his way to a Pro Bowl season. The first 2 weeks, he was played very, very well. He was physical. He was around the ball. He was in the piles. He was creating a sense of urgency for our football team each and every play, and really had worked so hard this offseason to come back and get himself ready to go. As I said, you know, we'll feel it on our football team, no doubt. We've got to, you know, the next guy's got to step up and we got to play. But, you know, he's such an integral part of our football team in the locker room and on the field.
And in a statement he released through the Bears today, he wants to be a part of that as well. He's going to be around. He's going to help out as much as he can, which is not simple for a guy, a veteran, let alone a kid, but a veteran who's been through all this and to have it happen twice within less than a 12-month
period.
He did
a great job last year for us.
Yeah.
He was, a part of it in the classroom during the course of the week when he was injured and when he was available and the same thing on the field. So I'm sure he'll be included in that as we move forward.
The mystery of this game, the crazy aspect of this game, you can get a major lick from somebody and you know that that person got a really bad injury. His and I went back 10 times trying to see. It was away from the play, a scramble by Kaepernick, a little shove in the back to Michael Crabtree, and you see the grimace. There was nothing there, it appears, you know?
Yep, you know, only Charles knows, but as you said, it didn't show up as a violent play at all. It was just a push-off and just got caught the wrong way, and here we are today with, you know, him in that predicament, and you know, we feel bad about it.
And you say step up, and the kid Kyle Fuller stepped up yesterday. Again, we've talked about this very term. It's never too big for him from the moment he got here. Brandon Marshall had some great reaction to him and what he's seen from him from the moment he got here. We've all had that experience with him, you more than anybody, as the head coach. And, boy, some terrific, couple of terrific plays.
Yeah, we saw it the first day of training camp. We saw it, even though one of them was probably interference, we saw it. We always kid him about that, but... you know, at the end of the day, you know, he has to practice against Brandon Marshall and Elshon Jeffrey every day. And that kind of competition can only allow you to get better. And, you know, he's a very, very competitive young man, a tough physical football player on the football field, and as quality a gentleman as you could find off the field. And, you know, Phil did a wonderful job in our personnel department of finding exactly the right guy and the right fit for a football team.
The thing about it, in the Twitter world today, there were a lot of people who followed draft. You know, now all of a sudden they keep writing that this was the number one cornerback in the draft. And so on the heels of a Sunday night performance on national television, two picks. But I just don't want to say that the two picks were the only plays, because he stuck his nose in there in the run game and made some big tackles.
He did. He made... you know, on the tackling side of it, our defense is as good a tackling game as I've seen since I've been here, in terms of the physicality of our team and running to the football and doing those types of things. And, you know, Kyle was in the mix all the time, either chasing a play down or you know, at the focal point of the play.
There are other injuries, and it's very difficult for you to expand on what the availability might be of folks. But one thing that does come to mind, though, and Chris Conte, if you have anything new on his shoulder injury, but the nickel position with Timmy Jennings had been doing that. Brock Vereen stepped in last night with no reps at that at all throughout the offseason, correct?
Yeah, getting coached up by Isaiah Frye on the sideline.
Isaiah Frye, really?
Between periods, you know, we'll go through roster moves and try to move in that direction. We've got some holes to fill, certainly, and, you know, we're still waiting on reports from the doctors and MRIs and things like that. But, you know, we're fortunate we got an extra day here. We don't start till Thursday, so that'll get us organized in the direction we're going to go with our roster.
Tony Fiametta brought back today, though. That is one thing. On the 53-man roster, and David Fales cleared waivers. He's on the practice squad. Those are two moves made
today.
Yeah,
I'm excited to get those guys back. I mean, we had to make some moves last week in the interest of trying to, you know, win one football game on a Sunday night on the West Coast. And fortunately, those moves were made in the best interest of the team, obviously, and it worked out well for us. And now we get the opportunity to get them back. It's great.
Fewer weeks like that, okay? Because that's stressful. That's stressful for the entire building, right? With unknowns, with injuries.
Yeah, I mean, every week is you know, a new storyline in terms of you know, how we work, how we practice, and then of course the game is becomes its own story within itself. And you know, we just gotta do what we preach every day, and that's stay focused on what we can control, and that's trying to get better each and every day and work at our craft and continue to grow together as a football team.
It is 6:38, time for WBBM's traffic and weather together by the 8th.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Jay takes the snap. Jay winds up, looking to the end zone, throws it behind Marshall. He pulls it in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Brandon Marshall adjusting to that throw, and a beautiful catch.
That was a one-handed catch, folks, and that was something else. One of the highlights in the NFL so far in the first 2 weeks of the season. As he put it, well, this is how the man works, man. It's really mind over matter. That's what I kept hearing him mumble in the hotel lobby on Saturday. And then yesterday in the locker room before the game, getting himself ready to play yesterday, and he turns out a three-touchdown game. Jay Cutler had some great throws, too, but that one right there was special. Did you go back and look at that one?
I did. Just an amazing catch. I mean, it's what the NFL is all about. I mean, we see some of that certainly by our players and Brandon during the course of practice we do in training camp, but to put it all together in a game, that was as much a catch radius as you could possibly have on any man in this league, and he had to use all of it to make that play. And as he said, the ball just stuck to his hand.
Right, yeah, one hand, and he's got big hands too, but that ball comes from Jay at a pretty good clip, right? Here's a quote from Michael Irvin regarding Marshall. He's snatching everything between heaven and earth. I mean, that is perfectly, perfectly, perfectly written right there. That's a great quote on how he's playing.
Yeah, he is. he's a focused guy and had to work through his injury this week and to be able to get himself ready to play. I don't think people realize how many hours during the course of the week is spent just in rehab and doing the kind of things you need to do to get ready. And it's a 24/7 job. It doesn't stop just when you're in Halas Hall. It's all hours of the day and night to try to get it. He's got, you know, all the different kinds of stem machines and everything working to try to get himself ready, and he did.
And just so people know, it is truly 24/7.
It is
to get ready.
It is, and once we get on the road, Chris Hanks and our training staff and doctors are with these guys all the time to try to get them ready. They were with them for 2 days. Just to get him ready out in the field to be able to work out at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
And that is the play of the week. It's brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears, with Mark Trestman here on the Bears Coaches Show. Aaron Cromer coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. Cutler hangs in there. He gets drilled by Quentin Dial. They get the penalty marker on that, but it knocked the air out of him a little bit. And he was 15-16 after that hit. Why was he so dialed in your opinion?
You're going to have to ask him. I think Jay's always dialed in. He had a great week of practice. He does a tremendous job with adversity. I've seen that in the first year that I've been with him. There's a lot of different recollections. Certainly Cleveland is one of them last year where we had two interceptions early in the game and he brought the team back and was able to, put it aside and move forward and have a great game. And he did that. It was a very, very difficult game. It was a tough start, tough early, tough through the first half. We were able to get a drive together and Brandon made the play to get us on the board to stabilize us a little bit. But after the hit, he just and got himself some air. Obviously, he was focused in and did some great things to move our football team.
And after watching it again, did you see and have any opinion on how they looked, both Marshall and Jeffrey, coming back from their injuries?
Yeah, I don't think they were at their best last night. I think they would probably tell you the same thing. They did a very courageous job of getting themselves ready and getting out there. And just by being out there was a difference in the game. Elshon drew three PIs.
Yeah.
Those were huge plays that don't even show up as, yards per, catch because they're not catches, but they're significant gains because of we're throwing the ball down the field. So having those guys out there as targets, certainly made a difference in the final score.
Jay made mention several times in our postgame interview with Zach Sabin last night about how the 49ers defense played them in the first half, but there was no follow-up question, so I didn't really get to know. Do you have any insight into what they were trying to do, maybe that you didn't anticipate what they were doing or whatever?
No, I think they, what Jay was saying was they played us a little bit tighter than we thought. We thought we were going to get a little more free access, be able to get some quicker completions. We thought their backers would play a little bit deeper. They didn't early on, and that's where you saw, going deep, sideline throws, trying to draw PIs. They were grabbing because they were playing so low, squatting on things. And Jay did a nice job with that, just hand-signaling our guys and getting them in a double-move position so we can get the ball up the sideline. And that's where we created the PIs.
Yeah. How do you create the ability to go distance then, the deeper routes and so forth in the second half? Is just because did they loosen it up then?
Well, the hardest part was that we didn't know our guys could run.
Yeah.
So it was difficult, to call the go routes because there was a, an internal concern that the guys would, re-injure themselves. And so we tried to play a game that was a little more cautious in terms of, throwing the football. But we were able to get enough out of it to win the game, and that's the most important thing.
All right, we got to stop for a moment. Another check of WBBM's traffic and weather together on the 8th.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Takes and back on five steps, coming to the near side. Fuller fighting Crabtree, swipes the ball. Fuller's up a bit at the 15. Fuller to the 10. Fuller down to the 6-yard line. Kyle Fuller with a terrific interception. The rookie out of Virginia Tech. In for the injured, Charles Pena Tillman swipes the ball from Michael Crabtree.
And one of two interceptions out of the day, he is the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity. Six tackles and those two interceptions. Jeff Joniak along with Mark Trestman here on the Bears Coaches Show at the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall with you until 7:30 tonight. And good to be with you after the Bears 28-20 win in Santa Clara over the 49ers. Very physical in his tackle. We mentioned that in the first segment. But against two very physical receivers yesterday, those guys they're not easy to deal with, Crabtree and Anquan Boldin. So you got to play that way, don't you, against those two
guys?
Yeah,
you do. And as I said, you know, every day our defensive guys have to play, you know, our D-backs have to play against, you know, some big receivers. And it's just helped them. The competition helps them. And, you know, Kyle's a fearless guy. You know, he's a fearless guy. He's very, very mature, as I said, for a first-year player. And those were very good interceptions and very good catches. You know, it's one thing to be in play to make the play. It's another to catch those balls. And those were excellent plays.
The second one, it seemed to me, is a veteran move, coming off one route, going to another. He says he was just playing technique. Is it that simple?
Well, you know, it's never that simple. There's a lot of work that goes into that. John Hoke would tell you that. You know, he got results, and, you know, we talk about competitive greatness, being at your best when your best is needed. And that was one of those times that Kyle was there, to ready to make a play, and certainly a difference making plays in the game.
Did you like your defensive discipline?
I did. We played a very good offensive football team in terms of structure, a lot of shifts and motions, a lot of things going on. And to me, one of the, you know, really good running backs in Frank Gore. And I thought overall our run discipline was excellent. We were running to the ball. It was extremely physical. There was some violent, within the framework of the rules, hits by our players. And I thought there was a residual effect throughout the game because of that.
Pass rush heated up as well at the right time.
Got better, no doubt about it. A lot more level with the rushes. I mean, we have to give Colin credit. He's an exceptional athlete. He's going to make plays with his legs. And you see what Jay did with the 125-yard run, and demoralizing for our defensive coaches and a team when a quarterback just gets one of those a game and you get a chance to move the chains. So I thought overall just a really good job pushing him out of the pocket at the right times, the right way, but leveling the rush. And you saw that in the last play of the game, a good level rush. He stepped up in the pocket. He had to make the play from the pocket, which is what we want him to do. We had our two defensive tackles. I can't remember whether it was Will and maybe it was Ego or Lamar. I can't really remember right now who the internal linemen were. But good level rush at the end position and two guys inside. No place to go. He had to throw the football, and we were able to win the game on the last play.
For those who may not understand the leveling aspect, can you explain that?
Well, you just want to be in a position where you can't break contain. You don't want to overrun it where you can break, but break contain. And the same thing, you want to be in a position where we keep them in the pocket, we force them to step up, and there's no place to go.
All right, you've had very little time to look at the Jets after an early morning arrival here back at Hallis Hall from the trip, but quick peek at what we might be looking at in New York.
Well, I just started just briefly today, you know, with the defense. There are some tremendous talent inside, no doubt about it, the defensive line and linebacker position, some exceptional players there, multiple scheme, you know, Rex Ryan, as good as anybody on the defensive side of the ball in terms of structure and making it very, very difficult on the quarterback and the offensive line in terms of pass protection. So it's going to be exciting this week just to get ready for them and to prepare. It certainly will have our offense's full attention.
A 3-4 and those guys up front are massive.
They're massive. And they're exceptional athletes besides being large. And their linebackers are solid. So we'll take a good hard look. We haven't, you know, spent a lot of time certainly talking about personnel yet or getting to know them. Just a couple of videos today, a couple of tapes of some of their last games. And they lost a tough game yesterday as well. And, you know, in the NFL, when you have some adversity, these guys really know how to bounce back and come out fighting. So it's going to be, you know, a heck of a battle on Monday night in New York.
On the flip side, offensively, your familiarity with Marty Morningweg, obviously a West Coast disciple as well, and throws a lot at the table with Geno Smith.
Yeah, a very, very experienced offensive coordinator, knows the game, multiple formations, personnel groupings, all the things that you see from, you know, West Coast guys. And we'll have our work cut out for us, no doubt about it, through the week, and we're excited to get going.
Staying on the road, given what you have with the noise and how you have to deal with your snap counts and all that, is it almost a benefit because of what you've experienced now to keep you in that same mindset back-to-back weeks and three of the next four?
Yeah, we just, you know, we just got to get back to work, get our energy back, continue to build our energy as we work through the week. And, you know, we'll be on the road, so it'll be the same, same kind of practice schedule in terms of the use of noise in practice and working with silent snap counts and the things you got to do to win on the road. It's going to be a great week. We're excited.
All right, Mark. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
on
sir.
The win. As the Bears go 1-1, everybody in the NFC North is 1-1 right now. You can get a $70 Bridgestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you buy 4 select Bridgestone tires, including the new DriveGuard tire, now through September 30th. Visit BridgestoneTire.com for details. Another check of WBBM's traffic and weather together in the 8th, and then we'll visit with Aaron Cromer, the Bears offensive coordinator.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman, and this hour featuring offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Verizon, Walgreens, and Xfinity. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
That was just a window into our character and the type of people that we have on this team, the type of people who are coaching us, our front office. That's what Bears football is about, never giving up. The theme for the week was Bear Down. And even though we got down early, we never gave up. And I can't say enough about the guys that I'm working with.
That is Bears safety Ryan Mundy after a 28-20 win over the 49ers in Santa Clara, California last night. Welcome back here to the Bears Coaches Show. Now in the hot seat. No hot seat. Bears are 1-1. Aaron Cromer with us, the OC. Thanks for joining us tonight. Did you get at least a little bit of sleep after these? These are tough, right, for everybody involved. This is not a lot of time to get some sleep, that's for sure.
You know, it's a combination of you want to play every game at noon, Soldier yeah. Field, if you could. But then at the same time, you know, it's great to be on a national spotlight, being on the Sunday night game, and then this week being able to go up and play a Monday night football. Doesn't get any better than that.
Yes, and your stars rose in the lights last night, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, they came off of injuries in the last game, but they came back and they worked their butt off all week to get healthy. It's a testament to their fortitude and their ability to just focus on the game plan and focus on getting better. And we really would like them to practice and get timed up with Jay. And you could see some rust in the first half and as it moved on and they gained trust in the way they were playing and their resiliency. And we started making plays. We scored the last four drives.
You mentioned rust, but you also mentioned trust and then how they can make their cuts and so forth. Do you think that was maybe more of it in the first half than the rust? Because these guys have been working together all off season.
Yeah, no question. It was a combination of a lot of things in the first half. A guy here, a guy there. It's football. And when you get in those kind of games, you got to rely on your playmakers. You got to put them in position to have a chance to make a play. And making a play just means doing your job, running the route right. If you have to come back because you have close proximity from a defensive back, you need to come back to the quarterback to catch a ball. You need to do that. And early on, whether that was happening or not, you know, not all the time. And they figured it out and they realized, you know, what they had to do. And you could see the improvement in the second half.
I had my binoculars on. You were doing our pregame show and we were watching Brandon and Alshon run the routes and we're trying to see exactly how they might be able to play or if they would be able to play. What were you looking for? What did you need to see?
Well,
and Mark.
Yeah, as a staff and as an organization and as those two individuals were talking about Brandon and Alshon, it was important that they had confidence going in the game that they could do it. And we had to have the confidence that they could make it through the game. We were ready. Phil Emery had done a great job and Mark all week of preparing us and having players ready for us if they weren't ready. And like we said, we're just glad that they were able to work on it so hard to get ready to play and were able to play because it was big in the end.
First 25 plays, 6 possessions, 6 punts. I don't know. Maybe my math was wrong, but I feel like I got 8 net yards, but then 2 80-yard drives in that second half and really – what that touchdown did before the break, you probably can't even quantify how big of a momentum boost that was. Even though they went down the field and ate up 9 minutes to start the second half, defense held them to a field goal. That turn of events right there, Mark always talks about continuity football, that right there really spelled the story, in my opinion, don't you think?
Yeah, it gave us a little momentum on offense. We changed the pace on them right before the half, and we went faster And we were able to complete some passes, protect the passer, and Jay did a nice job of being accurate. And it ended up in a touchdown, and it really changed the feeling of the game. You know, we knew that they had given us their best shot, and early on we weren't having much success, and we knew what it was, and we solved it on the sideline as players and coaches. The one thing we have here is we have trust between the players and coaches, and we know we can communicate on an honest level. I did this right. I didn't do this right. I wish I wouldn't have called that play. I wish I would have coached you to do this different. And we can talk in that fashion. And when you have that kind of communication,
gives you clarity,
gives
doesn't
you
it?
A chance to have success and be able to solve some problems on the sideline.
Well, we're with Aaron Cromer, the Bears offensive coordinator, after a Bears win over the 49ers. We're going to step away for WBBM's traffic and weather together on the 8th at 7:08. Here's Pat.
The Bears Coaches Show with offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer and WBBM's Jeff Jodiak continues.
Under center, takes the snap, play fake to the pocket. Pressured and brought down from behind. Closing quickly for the sack. Willie Young came out of nowhere like a bullet and brought him down. 6-yard sack.
Yeah, defensive end Willie Young with 3 last season in Detroit, 3 in his first 2 Bears games, and they were big sacks in the right time frame for the game to make an impact, and the Bears get the win over the 49ers. Back with Aaron Cromer here on the Bears Coaches Show in the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall. And the Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy Johnson, airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Got to talk O-line with you. You talk about a tough matchup for your first NFL start. Michael Ola matched up at times one-on-one with Justin Smith. He's one of my favorite defensive linemen in football. And he's made when he was with the Bengals, more outside. Now he's transitioned to playing inside as well. And just a load, even at his age. A couple times got him, but overall, got to be pleased, right?
You know, I've had the opportunity to coach against Justin Smith way too many times in the last few years with the last team I was with and going out and playing those guys in the playoffs. And he's such a powerful man, and he never quits. And he's always a tough guy to handle. And it was good to see Ola go in with some confidence, and because he knows he can play. You know, he doesn't have the experience that some guys have. So when things happen, it's the first time, which is you know, you get a Matt Slauson who's seen it over and over and over, and something happens, he gets it, and right away he's got his answer. And when you're a young guy like Michael Ola, it's the first time, you got to think through it, and adjust, and he did that for the most part in the game, and hats off to him and Brian De La Puente going in there as subs in the game and playing well.
What a valuable guy to have in 64.
Definitely.
I mean, he's terrific, terrific.
He started for me a couple years at the New Orleans Saints, and so I knew what he could do, and I knew he would add value to the room, and Phil and Mark agreed to bring him in. Great opportunity for him and us, and obviously we needed him in this situation with Roberto Garza going down last week, and we're thanking God we have him.
Those two guys, Slauson and Garza, I can't imagine. I happened to run into Slauson on Saturday, and he was burned up. I mean, he does not want to be on the sidelines. He had a nice streak going. That's important to him. Wants to win. Feels he should be there. Well, is it tough talking to those guys right now because you don't know when they'll be back and where their mindset is at?
You know, I can't wait till they get back because they're driving me crazy.
I bet they are.
I can't take it anymore. And it's only been 1 week. We're in the meeting room, and these two guys are constantly rehabbing, and they have rubber bands, and they're strengthening their ankle, and they're doing this and doing that, and they're miserable because they're not playing. But at the same time, they're such good teammates that they're helping De La Puente. They're helping Michael Ola with techniques or what to look for, and it's a good group that way.
49ers, when I watched the tape of them all the way back to the preseason, it looks the same every snap, pretty simple. But the hardest part, I would imagine, for the O-line are all those different stunts, especially when Justin comes looping around to the outside or one of those guys come looping around the outside with a full head of steam.
You know, when you get in a known passing situation like we did in that 2-minute drive right before the half, it's tough for any offensive lineman to pass protect for much time at all. And they do a good job penetrating, and they've worked together for a while. And Justin got called for one holding where he grabs the guard to make sure he can't make the switch with the tackle to block the defensive end coming around the edge. One time he got called, and then the next time they hit Jay and hit him pretty good. And we take a lot of pride in Jay not getting hit. And they made contact with him two times, and we threw it 40 some times. And we wish it could be zero, but that's still a pretty good stat for the.
Absolutely. The running game, boy, it was difficult, to say the least, correct?
Yeah, you know, in the type of game it was in, you know, early on, a lot of times you're not going to gain a lot of yards. You hope to gain 3-4 yards. You know, 4 yards is a good average in the run game. It's what you're really shooting for. And against Buffalo, we did. You know, Matt had a, you know, we don't have a lot of total yards a lot of times because we don't have as many called runs, and we have so many threats on offense, and we like to utilize them all. And so we throw the ball a little bit more than we run it, and I'm all for it because of the success we've had doing it. And going into the San Francisco game, we thought we needed to run it with those two guys hurt. They ended up coming back, and so we didn't need to call as many runs, and we weren't having a lot of success early. And we need to get that fixed. We need to be able to run the football, and not many people do run the football against the San Francisco 49ers. And when you get down in a game like that, you don't have the second half to come back and get 50, 60 yards running the ball because you're trying to throw it, you're trying to get back in. And we were successful doing it, and we're glad we did what we did.
Especially when they're home, number one in the NFL against the run since, I think, 2009, and the hardest team to score on in the NFL at home.
They've been very difficult to run the ball on and just score, and so to be able to score those last four drives was huge.
Aaron Crum will be back with us in one more segment. First, another check of WBBM's traffic and weather together in the eights.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Cutler takes the snap. They don't blitz. He throws, fade right side. Touchdown! Touchdown, Martellus Bennett. Touchdown, Bears! And they have tied the game at 20.
Extra point gave the Bears the lead for the first time of the game. Welcome back to the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall with Bears offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer. All right, we'll tick through some quick topics before we rejoin Mark Trestman. Bennett, he's got to be loving this right now. He's a target. He's been getting a lot of catches and a lot of targets, so he feels he's ready to have a breakout season. He feels health-wise just fantastic. Give us some insight into his performance and how he looks.
You know, Marty has really grown up a lot since last year as far as in our offense. You know, in last year there was a lot of things he was adjusting that we didn't want adjusted, and he knew it, but he just couldn't get a good feel for everything that we were trying to get done. And this year he's really stayed on course of, I understand what you want me to do if this happens, and I understand what Jay's looking at when something else happens. And so he's been more in tune with the offense, and it's allowed him to catch more balls.
Chris Williams and Josh Bellamy were ready to be involved if necessary. How big was that week for them now to get some confidence if they are needed?
You know, the good thing for those guys is they got a lot of reps in practice, so they got to work with Jay. They got to feel the pace of it. They got to learn, you know, how it was gonna be if they did get in. And so those are reps that are invaluable, and they normally don't get when the two big studs are around. And so for that to happen, as well as Santonio Holmes really being a target in practice, it gave Jay familiarity with the guys. It also gave those guys some confidence to know the plays and understand what to do.
All right, you watching any Jets yet?
Yeah, the Jets are a very good defense. They have five very strong players inside. Their three inside defensive linemen,
big boys,
are tops in the league, and their two inside linebackers are as well. So we got a work cut out for us. They're blitz.
He likes to overload, doesn't he?
Yeah, he likes to, you know, and the one thing he likes to use is sleight of hand, and he puts a bunch of guys over on one side, and it looks like there's no way they're going to blitz from the other, and five guys come from that side, and those five run to the other side and cover. So you got to be ready to get the ball off fast, and sometimes you'll pick it up, and sometimes you'll have to throw it.
Heck, I read where he already put a wide receiver in a blitz package, believe it or not.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He'll blitz the manager if he gets a chance.
Well, good luck. Get some rest. Should be a fun week. Headed out to the Big Apple to take on the New York Jets. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
That's Bears offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer. Earlier tonight, Mark Trestman on several topics, including coming back home with a victory and Charles Tillman's season-ending injury.
As I said after the game, just knowing, you know, what our coaches and our players went through, really started in the locker room after the Buffalo game, you know, handling that adversity and then moving forward. Our guys worked very hard during the week, coaches and players, put in the time, preparation, had amnesia about the week before, and went ahead and got to work like you have to do in the NFL each and every week. You got to separate them 1 week at a time, and they did. They went to work. We showed signs of getting better. We talked about it. We showed the tape. There was great energy and a sense of urgency in practice, and we were able to find a way to win a game on the road in San Francisco last night. I was very excited for our players and our coaches.
Is it easier for a veteran mixed team to have amnesia versus, say, a really young team?
I think so. I mean, our veterans really kind of took control of the week and the way they handled it. There was focus. There was it was a business-like atmosphere. There was a sense of humor involved. We didn't have a bunch of uptight guys, nervous and fearful of what was ahead. They saw the tape of the game against Buffalo. They saw signs that we can, you know, have the ability to become a very good team. We got a lot of work to do, and that'll start again, you know, tomorrow when we look at the game. But I thought our veteran group did a great job, and it started with Jay, and it worked through the guys that have, you know, played this game for a while and know what you got to do in this league. You got to get ready for the next game.
Matt, you mentioned sense of humor. Funniest thing you heard last week. What was it? What made you laugh?
Oh,
do you remember?
There was always Kyle Long for one. No.
Yeah, you know, we just did a feature on Kyle Long, and he said he toes the line between knowing when to work and knowing when to play.
Does.
He says he likes to keep it light.
Yeah, we got a number of guys who can put a smile on your face in our building, and that's a good thing.
One thing that turns a smile down a little bit is the news today on Charles Tillman. Now, season-ending injured reserve, a repeat of a torn tricep from a year ago in November. I know he's crushed about it. Your thoughts on that diagnosis today?
Yeah, on a personal level, I'm really disappointed for, you know, Charles and what's come about here. He was on his way to a Pro Bowl season. The first 2 weeks, he was played very, very well. He was physical. He was around the ball. He was in the piles. He was creating a sense of urgency for our football team each and every play, and really had worked so hard this offseason to come back and get himself ready to go. As I said, it's you know, we'll feel it on our football team, no doubt. We've got to, you know, the next guy's got to step up and we got to play. But yeah, he's such an integral part of our football team in the locker room and on the field.
And in a statement he released through the Bears today, he wants to be a part of that as well. He's going to be around. He's going to help out as much as he can, which is not simple for a guy, a veteran, let alone a kid, but a veteran who's been through all this, and to have it happen twice within less than a 12-month period.
He did a great job last year for us. Yeah. He was you know, a part of it in the classroom during the course of the week when he was injured, and when he was available, and the same thing on the field. So I'm sure he'll be included in that as we move forward.
The mystery of this game, the crazy aspect of this game, you can get a major lick from somebody, and you know that that person got a really bad injury. His, and I went back 10 times trying to see. It was away from the play, a scramble by Kaepernick, a little shove in the back to Michael Crabtree, and you see the grimace. There was nothing there, it appears, you know?
Yep, you know, only Charles knows, but as you said, it didn't show up as a violent play at all. It was just a push-off, and just got caught the wrong way, and here we are today with, you know, him in that predicament, and you know, we feel bad about it.
As Bears head coach Mark Trestman, that's going to wrap our show up tonight. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW, Sundays at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. And also, we got the Bears All Access Radio Show, brought to you by Sports Authority, this Thursday at 6 on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. For Mark Trestman, Aaron Cromer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Bears Jets, next Monday night, pregame at 4:30, kickoff at 7:30.